Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I was just reading an article about the bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Washington, Marianne Edgar Budd is her name. She said that she was outraged that Trump showed up to her church without permission, and even more so that he didn't even pray in the church. It was just a photo op, or offer any words of comfort to the country. And you go, did you expect anything else? It was all about a photo op. It was all about the bullhorn dog whistle to the base. That's all it was about. And to exert a little bit of his power. Sad, scary stuff. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on where we're going with all of this. I've asked our good friend, former Congressman Bob Ney, to come talk with us. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick.
So have you seen the photo of Donald out in front of the church holding the Bible upside down?
Yeah, I saw everything today. Somebody, one of my friends said that was actually the fake cover. It was the art of the deal, is what they were telling me. So it wasn't. I'm just saying what they were telling me.
I wouldn't doubt it, though. I mean, you know, that's the sad thing. Have you seen anything crazier than that?
I mean, it was a bizarre effect. I mean, to go somewhere, not that technically you need permission, I'm going to make that clear, to stand in front of a church. You don't need it. But if you're president of the United States, you're going to go stand in front of a church, you would think it would be something you're connected to, or you know, some entity within the church. Like I said, you're free to do whatever you want, wherever you want, but I don't know. I don't know the purpose of the photo op.
And that's the thing that got me. You literally had to shoot people with rubber bullets and tear gas to get the photo op. It's crazy. I mean, we're living in really, really bizarre times with the worst possible person in charge at the wrong time.
Well, you know, this is all so extremely complicated, and it's just like pieces all gelling together and exploding at the same time. I'm just talking about the whole situation.
Yep.
You know, I served with Congressman John Lewis. I managed the African American Museum bill for Congressman Lewis. You know, I put that through my committee, supported him. I know him, and I'm very respectful. I believe he is an icon for civil rights. And I saw what he said, which I thought was very good about not being destructive, right? And then I looked. This is what's so bizarre. I saw personal cases and people I knew who were calling for the violence, that the violence was fine and that you should have the violence because it's gotten to that point. By the way, everybody I just mentioned that was doing that were white. So I want to make that clear.
No, I haven't called for violence, but it's one of those things where I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. You shouldn't do it.
Right.
But I understand it.
Yeah. Oh, I understand the fever, the boil over. But what I'm just saying is, I was telling some friends of mine who said that, well, there should be violence, and I said, listen, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm probably biased because I think that John Lewis is
right.
Is the voice. He lived the walk with Martin Luther King Jr. and he says, don't be destructive. So I thought, okay, you've got these weird pieces of everything coming together, and then some people actually calling for the violence. Yet, honestly, there are a lot of people that have never been involved in any of the issues before, period. So, and then there's people that are very, very genuine and, are trying to do the right thing. And I think we have to remember in a balance here that a lot of these protesters that are doing this, are protesting like you're supposed to, et cetera, et cetera. And some of the other pieces are coming from all kinds of different elements that are actually doing the violence.
No, and this is what I think Susan Rice was saying, yesterday, that, she believes this came out of the Russian playbook. She believes there's foreign actors involved here. And, as a number of other people have said, you've got some unsavory elements. Your agent provocateur, if you will. I mean, there's the video of the one guy who they claim was a police officer, smashing out the windows of the auto parts store.
Right.
I mean, this stuff happens in all of this
sure.
Because, then the message now is all about, you've burned stuff and you've smashed out windows. It's no longer about the guy being murdered.
Right, and I heard four different stories tonight of people who actually, you know, called me or texted me, and this was very interesting, Rick. These are smaller towns, and they all said the same thing. Oh, Bob, by the way, at noon tomorrow there's going to be violence. And these are people that have been told this. See, these rumors are going around. Probably there's 50 other little small towns that are having the same rumors, you know. And it's all, it's a fear factor. And, of course, some of it's just generated out of, you know, people that are afraid or hysteria, et cetera. And some of it might be generated out of people that are sending these emails out to other people to scare them, to create more, you know, fear and animosity out there. So I just think this is a, you know, extremely bizarre situation in the sense that the original issue now is not there as I mean, because I'm wondering, Rick, I've been trying to follow the news. Say, what happened to the other three cops that stood there? Have they done anything to them yet?
I guess all four got fired. They only arrested the one.
One. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, what about the others? That message is even drowned out. And now it's about, well, should you have violence or not, or are they violent or not, or are they, who are they really supporting, or who's really paying for them? And you're hearing all of this, and I was just thinking today, what about the other three?
Yeah, and to be honest, you know, it's one of these, you know, one of these things where you go, you know, was the 20 even fake? I mean, was the thing that started all of this, was that even fake? Was it the store owner suspected it of being faked? You know, was it actually fake? Do we now know? But the store owner has come out and said he wished he would have never called the cop because this has now happened. And is that the kind of country we're going to become where we're afraid to call the police because we're afraid somebody's going to get killed?
Right, right.
It's a scary moment. And look, the other part of this is, you know, globally, you know, what kind of a message does this send the rest of the world? Because like I pointed out, Susan Rice said this is out of the Russian playbook. You know, is this another one of those opportunities for people who want to keep us divided and pitted against one another to continue to stoke this flame?
Well, yes. And then one other thing I thought about, you know, I've traveled extensively, and I'm also sitting there and I'm seeing Europe, you know, talking about us, et cetera. Well, Europe has a lot of racism, too. I mean, there's just, I'm looking at this whole thing and I thought, okay, that's great. They're, you know, supporting a just cause, but also internally over there, there's some real big time issues also in some of those countries. And I just wonder how much then smoke screens what they should take care of and goes just strictly towards the United States. I mean, I think it's, you know, quite a mess.
Yeah, but they don't have they've got a crazy leader, but not as crazy as ours.
Right.
Because on the, do you think he can really put, you know, soldiers in every state? Do you think if he doesn't like what the governor does he have the authority to send in the army?
Well, I mean, he's trying to do this under some, you know, older statute. I mean, technically, as I understood it, you know, he can't just do this unless he would declare, you know, some type of general broad sweeping national emergency. I'm not sure he wants to do that. I think right now this is more verbiage trying to push governors where people who are afraid for whatever reason will start to pick up the phone and yell, you know, hey, I want something done or I want the feds in here. I don't think he can do it in general. No, yeah. I don't think so.
But you know,
D.C., that's a little different.
Yeah,
that's across jurisdiction.
Now we see the autopsy reports. We have dueling autopsy reports, evidently. And now you've got Michael Botter and his other guy who have claimed that this was it was homicide caused by asphyxiation. They were the two of the examiners hired by the family. The state saying that it wasn't directly related.
Well, I know you know the next name I'm about to say, Cyril Weck. I know you know from Pennsylvania, and I listened to him Saturday. He was down on the Wheeling, West Virginia radio station, and the guy I know, a radio host, called me up and said, hey, he's going to be on. And he gave a very thorough, interesting explanation this past Saturday of why this was a homicide. And he was reacting to the autopsy report that the government did, you know, and basically said, look, and the man could have hypertension, a man could have an enlarged heart, the man could have whatever. He said, but he said he wouldn't have had this happen to him if he was just walking on the street. He said there was a, you know, reason this happened. And so I listened pretty intently when he was dispelling what the, you know, government said. So I think the family was very smart in hiring somebody privately.
Yeah, I mean, because that was where my mind went immediately. I'm going, the guy probably wouldn't have died had you just let him sit in the car.
Yeah.
Well, had you just left him the hell alone.
Yeah, I mean, I had a heart attack last year, right?
Right.
And if I'm walking on the street, you know, tomorrow, I probably won't have a heart attack. If somebody, two or three people, you know, policemen, for example, would, you know, restrain me, sit on me, put pressure on my neck, I may have a heart attack, right? Now they say, well, Bob had a bad heart. Well, you know, it turned into a heart attack due to what they did to me, for example. So, I mean, I think we have to look common sense at that. And as far as, you know, I'm concerned, the autopsy was a cover-up.
And again, that just stokes the flames and makes things that much worse.
Sure.
Or had they, you know, when I looked at the video and I saw it, I'm going, the lead guy, the guy who was, you should have arrested him immediately in his uniform, handcuffs on, that moment. And then the other three with him.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I had thought about, you know, starting the show today just with 9 minutes of silence. I mean, just, you go, you know, the painful silence. Imagine having someone with their knee in your neck for 9 minutes and not being able to breathe. Now, look, you know, I get being a cop's a tough job, but there's got to be some common sense in this.
Well, and also the thing that kind of astounded me, you know, all the other three policemen should have responded for whoever was on the ground, white or black, you know, whatever. But what kind of got me, did you see the other three police, you know, you had minorities. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, they should respond to anything. But I was kind of just in shock,
yeah,
you know, that somebody would stand there, period.
Nothing surprises me, though. Nothing.
It was bizarre. And again, the question I'd ask today, amidst everything going on, what about the other three? And why is it taking so long? It's very simple. They stood there. I mean, why? What is taking so long for the prosecutor to react?
Yeah, I mean, I think this all could have been avoided had they just arrested them right from the start, shown that there was some justice. And as I said earlier in the show, to use a Trump frame, that we actually do have one beautiful law that applies to everybody universally. Just a thought. But, Bob, I appreciate the time and the thoughts.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. You know, to me, it's that simple. If you just that one concept. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I'm going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up.